Good morning. Lots of fun snow out there. It was a real blessing because I don't know what Joy and I were doing. We were kind of resting or whatever. And
we were reconfiguring the pig.
Yeah, that too. And then all of a sudden, I looked out the window and our driveway was cleared, you know, because I was starting to get, you know, my muscles ready to get out there and start shoveling again, you know. The other day I did it and I kind of hurt my back a little bit, but I was, you know, going, yeah, I'm ready for it and stuff like that. But our neighbor went in there and did it, and he finished the job too, what it looked like. So kind of going, oh, praise the Lord. And of course, Joy picked up the shovel and did our sidewalk. So that's nice. So you know what? You know, if you become a pastor, you can get away with things like that, right? Okay. I got to study. I got to write my message. You know, I can't be out there. So, hey, you know, something, especially for the younger ones, you know, you still have an opportunity. But, you know, even if you're, you know, my age or more, you can still get into the pastorate. You know, so just think about that. It's wonderful to be with you. Today will be our last day. We're getting a closer look at the Lord's Prayer. And I hope it's been helping you and your prayers. And it's something, just the things that we've gone through have been very good for me too. And really, the closer we come to the Lord, the more we pray to Him with open hearts, that's where the transformation comes in our lives. We can't do it ourselves. We can follow every little rule book, all the philosophies of the world, all the things people taught, things that we did before and stuff like that, but you can only get so far because we lack power to change the most important part of us, and that's right here. And so this prayer is really challenging. It's a challenge to us. And really what it comes down to is humble yourselves before the Lord. You know, just like that song, you know, who are you calling? Are you going out there to battle? Well, He might have you to go out to battle, but who's going before you? The Lord is. And here we have deliverance from evil one today. And we have an enemy, right? Back in the 1700s, a young lady named Marie Durand. And now I know I'm butchering the pronunciation because she's French. She's a French Huguenot. And in those times, France was a Catholic country and very strong Catholic country. And they did not want anybody worshiping God in a way that was not the way they liked it. And so the Huguenots liked to worship the triune God. They preached the word of God. And the French priests, the Catholics, did not like it. So what they did is they put people in places like this tower. You can go there today in France. And this one young lady, her mom and dad were put in prison because they were those who would go and worship this God, and they would worship in secret, but they would be found out. In fact, their neighbors are the ones that gave them up. So they were sent to prison. They died in prison. And then when she got married, about 3 months afterwards, her husband was sent to prison for being a preacher of the word. It wasn't for preaching the word. It was because of their marriage ceremony was not correct. It had too much God in it. And then a little bit after that, her brother was the one that was sent to prison for 20 years because he was a preacher of God's word. And then after a month or so after that, then they said, hey, you're the sister of this guy that is a preacher of the word. You're going to prison. So she lived in this tower. And all you had to do, you know, they had a 24/7 priest there. All you had to do to get out of the prison was say, I recant. Really meaning like, I don't believe anymore. I don't want to believe anymore. Just kind of like turning their backs on their faith. That's all they had to say. I recant, and they were released. Well, Marie just couldn't do it. She believed in God and that the laws of God, His word, is above anything of man. And for a time, I don't know how long, how many times they asked her, you know, are you going to recant? Are you going to recant? She would say no. 38 years later, she was in prison. 38 years in this little tower. They say that it's just cold in the winter, hot in the summer, small place, hardly any light at all in there. There'd be other women that were placed in there. I think sometimes they'd say they're around 45, and she would have a ministry amongst them to encourage them in a word. And they would pray and they would sing, just like Paul and Silas in the prison. 38 years. 38 years. All you had to just say, I recant. Things would have been fine. But she, her faith, her walk with Christ just would not allow it. And then when she was let out, and she lived for about 8 more years. I don't know. Oops. I actually have to turn this on, don't I? See if it works. There we go. And they found this stone in the prison, you know, in that tower where she was. And it, in French, is register or something. I'm sure I'm butchering it. And what it really meant is resist. Those were her words that she etched in that rock. And it's still there today. If you want to go see it, go to France and see that. That faith to resist what the devil, our enemy, wants, you know, he's pounding on it, saying, you know, turn from God. Stop. Don't believe in him. You know, he's always after us. Give up on him. Doubt. Did he really say that? Don't believe him. Don't trust in him. All that is coming after. Don't follow him. But her heart was saying, resist. And we're going to find out a little bit more about that today, too, and how important that is for us. Let's pray before we continue on. Lord, yes, this world, there's so much coming after us. And the enemy has got a lot of schemes to try to take us down, to take us away from you, to try to turn us away from you. And Father, with people like Marie Durand, who would tell us otherwise, say, hey, no, it's worth it to stand firm, to resist. Lord, help us to understand there's more and more today, the importance of that, and how we can be a blessing and help others as well. May you receive all the glory and praise in this time, in this word, in this message, Lord. We just thank you for this time together. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Resist. See, our real enemy, you know, it's said, you know, if you look at through church history and even present church history, there's a lot of what they say intramural wrestling going on in a family of God, okay? I'm sure you've seen it or heard about it and stuff like that, where people, there's jealousies and whatever else within the church, and they start fighting one another, you know, maybe even getting one or noogies, things like that, to try to get their way, right? Oh, but I like it this way. Oh, no, that's not the way it is. And then there are just things go this way and that way and all that, and the church starts to fall over itself, and it really is not united. And the enemy loves that. See, he loves that. That's one of his focus points. But truthfully, when we read the Word of God, we find out that our enemy is not our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not the unbelievers across the street. It's not even the Russian soldiers running into Ukraine. Our enemy is this. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There's a darkness. And maybe you felt it before in your own soul, because we were enemies of God. We were friends of Satan, of the devil, before that. But we've been changed. And now we're a friend of God. And now the devil's our enemy. and he's after us. But we have to remember, it's not really the flesh and blood, but there's a spiritual warfare going on. And you can feel, you know I felt it before in my life. I still have, you know, there's things that you still fight against. And you go to other parts of the world and where the enemy is manifested in different ways and even more in your face ways. You can see it more easy. You can see the idols. You go to India, you go to Thailand, you go to other places, you know, they set up these little idols and they feed the spirits, and you know, because they have to appease them. They change their name so the spirits will leave their children alone. They do all these type of things to try to appease the enemy. Well, one thing we have to understand is who our enemy is, right? I mean, know thy enemy. And sometimes he's ourselves, right? But we know our enemy, he's the liar, right? He's a murderer. He's sinned from the beginning, right? He's the accuser that goes and always points out every little fault that we have, right? If you read Job, how he went around the world looking for people, you know, and he's always looking to accuse, and he's accusing Job. Look, you couldn't curse God to his face because I'm going to take all your belongings and your family away from you. And when that didn't work, he says, I'm going to get after your own body. I'm going to make you sick, and you're going to be falling apart, and you're going to curse God for his wrongdoing. But Job would not do that. But the enemy is relentless because he's like a roaring lion on a prowl. He's a roaring lion. He's not a tame lion, and he's a vicious lion, and he's looking for anybody. And that's why one of the reasons why Christ prayed that prayer in John 17 for the unity of the church, He also gave us a commandment that we must meet together for mutual encouragement and to motivate one another for good works. If we think we could do this alone and be in a little island, I tried it. It doesn't work. You shrivel up. You don't become effective. The body of Christ is critical to each one of us. And that's why we have to be united, because we have a very dangerous enemy. So what do we have to learn from 1 Peter 5? The first things he's talking about there says, be alert and sober and of sober mind. All right? So one of the things is being alert. You know, if you're sleeping like Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane while Jesus was praying his heart out, he says, would you stand watch with me? You know, because Satan's come. Peter kept falling asleep. Our alertness is critical for us to understand not only who our enemy is, but also who we are in Christ. Being ready at all times. You know, here it says, therefore, with minds that are alert and sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. That's 1 Peter, that's the first chapter there. Set your hope. So when you're alert, you're going to set your hope on Christ, what he is bringing to us, that wonderful grace. And it goes on from there. He goes, therefore be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. That's kind of a critical part. When we have an enemy, we better be alert enough to be able to pray. Because we try to do it on our own, in our own strength. We know we're going to fail in one way or another. We'll be taken down. We're going to recant. It's too much. I don't want to give up my life. I don't want to give up my comforts. I want to give up my entertainment. I recant. It's so easy to say. So easy to say. So easy to do. How many people do we know that have recanted? We know people who have been brought up with the word, and yet they turn. It's a battle. It's a war. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. It's scheming all the time. Put on armor. Be alert enough to put on armor and knowing that you are in a battle. Now be careful, because sometimes people say, well, I got to get to know the devil more. And no, don't get over fascinated with him. Just know that he's our enemy. But then don't fall asleep on him either. Just going like, oh, there's no enemy. There's no darkness. No, because what he does, he attacks suddenly, right? But one thing we do have to remember is that when Satan tried to cause Jesus to jump off the cross by all the mocking, all the ridicule and all that stuff, Jesus wouldn't do it because he knew ultimately how to defeat the devil. And that's by remaining on the cross and dying for us. So he defeated the devil. The devil is a defeated foe, even though it doesn't feel like it. I was listening to Alistair Begg, and he was describing one time when he was bringing food to a family or something like that. I think it was one of his jobs as a teenager or something like that. But it was scary because there was a vicious dog in there. And so what he would do is just put the food right in front of the house and run. Okay, you want to go around the back and put it where they said. But then somebody came, a friend or somebody came up to him the next time and said, hey, come. He's going, whoa. You know, there's that vicious dog again. But you know what, that vicious dog, what was different there? You know, he was vicious. He was on a short chain. See, he couldn't get at him. So he could actually open up that door and get in there with the groceries and put it right where it's supposed to be. The dog couldn't touch him. Oh, he'd bark at him and, I want to tear him up. But he couldn't get him. See, Jesus took that authority away from Satan and he put him on a chain. And we must remember that. He's on a chain because of what Jesus did for us. But we need Jesus and his authority to fight against the enemy. So the schemes of the enemy today, there's so much. I mean, there's so much confusion. In fact, the enemy keeps on plowing ahead. You know, especially now that we have these little computers with us everywhere we go, and people are getting this and that. You know, they learn this and they learn that. And, you know, the truth really is so faded in the background these days. People are confused on their own identity. They don't even know what sexual identity they have anymore today. A lot of people are just questioning that. They question things about, is there any God, or what am I doing here? There's all these things going on. What's the truth? There's really no truth. It's just what works with me. What helps me? What is my preferences and my desires? That's what's important. See, that's Satan. He puts all this stuff, you know, and he puts these little computers with us. And see what happens. I tell you, families and stuff like that, they're sitting right next to one. Or you see, I still remember even in Thailand, I think we were out for a date or something like that together. And there was another table and a couple was sitting next to one another and they're just looking at their phones. They're right next to one another, but they're looking at their phone and they're typing. I don't know if they're communicating, texting one another or their friends, okay? But Joy and I didn't have that. We were just talking and eating and food flying all over the place because it was good. So, but, you know, Satan takes these things, which are pretty neat inventions, okay? God created us to be creative. But also can tear apart a family. And it destroys relationships because you're like this all the time. I find myself doing this too. It's a challenge. It is, yeah. Matt smiling. And Tiffany kind of watch him like that. Is that what you did? No, he didn't do that. Things like this. cause us to forget about how to relationships with one another, actually looking at one another in the eyes and talking, and the kindnesses and sharing time together without type of interruptions that come. You're always bing. Have you ever been in a meeting or talking with somebody and their phone kept on going off and they're always so distracted and you're just saying, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? You can't even talk to me for 1 second without your phone beeping off and you're looking at it. The enemy uses so much against us. That's why we have to be alert, right? But don't run. Don't run, because we don't have to fear him. We have to understand we have an enemy, but we don't have to run from him, because we have the one who is in us is greater than one who's in the world, all right? So then it comes also to a sober mind. And I always go on, sober mind, I say, self-control, something, you have to, be careful of ourselves, because we do, get out of whack when things aren't going our way. Pride gets involved in all of this. In your anger, do not sin. Ooh, that's right there. You're starting to, that's tough. Anger in itself is not sin. It's an emotion. It's okay to have it. Like when Joy is beating me in a game, I get angry. I started complaining. I whooped her at the end yesterday, but she got back to me. Why are you complaining all the time? I'm going, yeah, I was. Because I was angry. Because things weren't going my way. Now, did I sin? I don't know, maybe. Did I say forgive me? Things like that. But, in your anger, do not sin. You're angry, and you got something against this person. I remember what you did to me. I'm going to bring that up again, just a pokey in its eye again. Feels so good, doesn't it? Oh, grinding it in. And watch that person go, and then they come back you with their claws out, and then you start going at it, right? And so in your anger, do not sin. It takes self-control. It takes a sober mind to say, stop! Resist! You're a different person now. You walk in a different way. You have a different master that you serve. You have a different purpose in life. Your life is not your own anymore. You're a living stone. We are all living stones who believe in Christ, and we are being built on that powerful, wonderful, solid foundation of Christ Jesus. And we are living stones being built on that. And our testimonies, our lives, shine forth and build that temple stronger and stronger every day. Do not let the sun go down while you are angry. Have you ever done that? Yeah, it's hard. These don'ts are hard, but sometimes we like these little lists, though, don't we? Huh? Makes us feel good. I could do that. Well, 10 commandments. I got that. We were finding out the other day. Oh, yeah, it helps us try not to sin, but oh, boy. One little time, that's it. You broke them all, right? Do not let the sun go down while you're angry. Just understanding where you're at. It's not good. It's not healthy spiritually, not healthy physically. In fact, I'm not sure if you even go to sleep, truthfully, when you're angry. It'll disturb your sleep. So you better make peace with whoever or whatever, and definitely come to God. Because you can't do it on your own. We can't. We try, but we can't. And do not give the devil a foothold. See all this? The devil's looking for a place. He wants to get in here and start messing around. Starting to make us doubt. Starting us to lose confidence in what Jesus has done for us. Starting to go, am I a follower of Christ or not? What does it mean? You know, am I a Christian? You know, I'm still, you know, when you're doubting and all that stuff, you know, it's all coming from the enemy. And when he gets that foothold, it's so difficult to get him out. It takes the power of God, and it takes a surrendered heart for that to happen. And I know that by experience. Overcoming, sorry, this is a little bit light. When I did that, I went, so you might have to get your little binoculars out or something like that. But I thought this was interesting because here's that lion tamer, right? You know, back in those olden days, you know, they got the chairs and the lion roaring there, you know, and it's, oh, you're going, whoa. So overcoming the adversary, well, we get to resist and stand firm in the faith. We have to know that the one who is in us, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, is greater than the one who is in the world. Even though he roars a lot, we need to, you know, and James is saying, submit to God. Submit to him. Resist. And what's going to happen to the devil? He's going to flee. Because he knows he has no chance. See, when you put on the armor and the enemy is attacking, you're facing that lion, he's not going to turn his back. I guarantee you, if he turns his back, that lion's going to, he's going to jump him. Do you understand that? That lion's going to jump him and just probably bite his head off. He can't turn his back. So don't turn your back. Don't turn and run. Stand firm. Resist. Stand firm in the faith. He has to flee. He has to flee. And do not conform. This is something that we really have to keep pounding in us. Don't conform to the patterns of the world, because we've seen what the patterns of the world are doing. It's just mixing us all up. Don't conform. Resist. Stand firm. Don't fear. Because Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. You know, Jesus told his disciples after he sent them out in twos, he says, I gave you authority, and you could trample on those snakes and scorpions. You know what those snakes and scorpions are? They're demons. The minions of Satan. And they had power and authority over to overcome the power of the enemy. He gave it to them. And if he gave it to them, he's given it to us. He has all authority. All authority is given to him. And he has given that authority for us. And when he was being tempted himself by Satan out there in the desert for 40 days, 40 nights afterwards, being hungry and thirsty and whatever else, Satan comes up, so oh, this is a good opportunity. I'm taking him down. I got him now. Bread, oh yeah. I know for John that would be it. You know, I would go, yeah, give me bread. I'll change that stone to bread. No, but Jesus just says, it is written. See, when we're standing firm, when we're resisting the enemy, don't ever forget one of our greatest weapons, and that is the Word of God. It is written. Speak it. Songs of praise is another good thing. Thanksgiving unto the Lord is another good thing. Coming together with fellow Christians and praying together, encouraging one another, you know, because we know we're all undergoing the same kind of sufferings. There's a strength in the unity. Strengthen that unity, that togetherness. You comfort one another, help one another. The enemy doesn't like it. And that's how we fight against the enemy. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur to be tormented day and night forever and ever. Who is that, Randy? You said you already know who wins. See, the book of Revelation already tells us what the ending is. And what's happening to the devil? He's going to be chucked into hell. He's going to lose the battle, the overall war. That's one thing we can stand firm on. The reward, as you look a little bit later in that chapter there, verses here, it says here that, and the God of all grace, in verse 10 there, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while. Okay, now a little while could, you know, remember now, 1,000 years to the Lord is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. So we don't know what the little while is, but the little while, talk about compared to eternity. He's saying a little while will himself restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. He's going to build you up. He's going to build each one of us up and strengthen us and be there for us, refresh us, renew us. And then it says, to him be the power forever and ever. Amen. A little doxology at the end. You know, and the doxology at the end of the Lord's Prayer. You know, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, it's not written in the scriptures, but in my Bible, but they say that some scriptures it was put in there, some versions. And really, when you really think about that prayer, and all the things that Jesus has done for us, how can we not praise him and just give him the glory, saying, you know, yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory. You know, that's it. That's what it's about. And that's what keeps us going. That's what helps us, you know, when we feel like such a wretched man. Who can save me from this body of death? And then you give thanks because you remember, oh, it was Jesus. Jesus did it. He saved me. The enemy tried to take me down, but Jesus saved me. It's a powerful thought. Handel's Messiah. People can't resist but stand up at that one portion. Because it's just so powerful to glorify the Father. And I believe that's what this doxology, whoever had it added in one place, maybe it's just from their heart. Maybe Holy Spirit just said, I just got to write this down. I just got to praise the Lord and give him all the glory. So if there's anything you learned today, as we're in this day-to-day, moment-to-moment warfare, just like the people in Ukraine fighting for their lives, we're fighting for our lives. It's our lives have already really, we have victory in Christ, but we have to be careful that we don't, when you feel like you're standing firm and everything's fine, be careful that you will fall. Same thing. The enemy attacks in different ways. He uses people, all that, to try to bring us down. And not only do we need to guard ourselves, but then we also have the honor and the ministry to, and the authority in Christ to pray for others, to rescue them, to help them by the power of Christ, to bring them into the kingdom of God, to help them through this war with the enemy and to save their souls. So resist. The word is resist. I like to put it right on my knuckles. Resist. Stand firm in faith right here every day. And maybe come up people to say, resist. Stand firm in the faith. Something that we need to do. Not only for ourselves, but for our families, for our communities, for our friends, for people, co-workers, classmates, we need to stand firm and resist and help them as well. For there's a great reward. All who stand firm to the end will be saved. Let's pray. Lord God, again, your word It's powerful. We just skimmed it. We just skimmed your prayer. There's so much more. We just skimmed a little bit of today, but Lord, I pray that you'll just speak to our hearts, that you'll bring about truths that will guide us in our daily walk, Lord, to remember Marie and her resistance of the enemy to try to force her to recant her faith in you. It can't be done as we develop a close relationship with you and know who we are in you and who you are more and more. Father God, may you give us a spirit, a renewed spirit, a spirit of fire in our hearts, a passion for your word, a passion for prayer, a passion for people. Oh, Lord, we need this. Give us that wisdom, that spirit of wisdom and revelation to guide our steps so we can connect with your heart, to hear your voice, so we can minister to the people around, so we can resist this world, resist our flesh, resist the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ and be a wonderful witness, a wonderful influence in the lives of the people around us that will see that and be amazed and, Lord, in hopes that many will be saved. Help us, Father. Thank you again for your word. May you receive the glory and praise in it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. All those people say, amen. Amen.